ASO Radio Theater proudly presents Kerry Cano, Overdrive. A synopsis of what has come. Chris has gone and fallen in love, but do they really love each other, or is it just something that fate has brought together? Also, new friends have appeared. How will this work out? Well, I hope it works out for Chris. Let's all see and tune in. Hey guys, how's it going? I knew in my heart they really didn't care how I was doing. After all, I hadn't met them at the ice cream shop, but hopefully they had forgiven me. Oh hey, we were just having a good time here waiting for you. We weren't really waiting for her. We were just kind of hanging out and she suddenly showed up. I wish you'd get a clue and just stay away. Well, that's good to hear because I was really hoping to make up to you guys for the other day. I really, really hope that they'll forgive me. I'd do anything just to get back to the way we once were.
Oh, what do you mean? I don't remember anything that happened the other day. I thought everything was cool.
Although, in truth, in my heart, I held a deep grudge against her for not showing up on time. I mean, what sort of person doesn't even call in advance to let you know they'll be late? That just isn't a way to live your life. Oh, well, anyways, I think I'll catch you guys later. I've got to go and get some money so that we can go to get ice cream. I could feel the tension in the air. It was as thick as butter and twice as gooey. I didn't want to be around there, and I knew they didn't want me to be there. It was just, I just couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, all right, we'll go ahead and meet you for ice cream then at the usual place.
She wasn't going to show. I knew she was just faking. She never shows at all. And as a matter of fact, when I think about it, I'll show up just because she said she'd be there. But if she doesn't show up, I'm never speaking to her again. I'm so hungry here in the park. Nobody ever feeds me. I just wish that one day somebody would give me peanuts. That would be such a relief.
Oh, hey there, little squirrel. Are you hungry? I've got a little something here left over for lunch. Would you like this?
But in my heart, I knew he was only going and saving his own soul for his inability to forgive his friend. If only one day they could work everything out. A synopsis of what's to come. Chris and her boyfriend go and meet up for ice cream, but will they both be there on time, or will feelings be hurt? I don't know, but I bet a lot of fun's going to happen when her friends find out what happened with them. Tune in next time to Hers and Her Circumstances, Truths of a Broken Heart.
There's clever engineers.
But yeah.
Time for ASO Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ASO Radio, episode 77.
77.
Wow. Like T-Man 777, except it's season 5, and that really doesn't work with 577.
No, it doesn't.
This is T-Man's friend, NZ17.
And his other friend, DB3.
And we are bringing you the latest and greatest episode of ASO Radio and the last episode of Season 5.
Can you believe... Wait, Season 5?
Season 5?
That's the end of Season 6.
No, not the end of Season 6. It's the last episode before Season 6.
Oh, that's right.
See, because 6 times 13 is 78. This is 77.
Right.
And we have very exciting news because this is one of the last episodes we'll have before we go out to Nandeshugan.
Woohoo! Yay!
And of course, while we're at the convention, we'll be putting up new episodes each and every day covering the events of the day.
So, you should be ready for that.
And of course, our live episode, which is going to be a gas and a half. I had a really smart idea, I thought, for the episode, our live episode. is when they go and they record television shows, they hold up those placards, or now they have the little signs that come on, right? The lighted signs that say applause or laugh or whatnot, right? So I figured we would have three signs for ASO Radio, and then I thought, wait, we'll have four signs, okay? One sign will say applause, you know, pretty standard.
Yeah.
Another will say laugh. Another will say boo. And the fourth one will say vomit. See? And whatever we hold the card, the audience will make the appropriate sound. They, if I hold up applause,
they'll applaud.
If I hold up laugh,
they'll laugh.
If I hold up boo,
they'll boo.
And if I hold up the vomit card,
they're going to make vomit sounds.
Exactly. So it'll be like, hey, welcome to ASO Radio. And they'll be like, woo! And it's like, I'm glad to be here, but it'd be better if somebody used the other, and then I'll be like, ha 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 ha. And then I'd be like, no, seriously, that guy in the middle of the first row, oh! So it'll be hilarious, I think, if we can get everybody playing along with that. And of course, I hope everybody enjoyed the funny for this episode, because it's a lot of work went into that one, but
yes,
it was rather well worth it.
It was a lot of fun listening to us as we put it together.
Yes, yes. And so, anyways, let's go ahead and get to the news. The news, of course, being there is no news this episode.
How sad. Wait, the news is we're getting ready for NGK.
Yes, but that's been, like, news for, like, 2 years now, so...
But it's close now.
We're building up the pressure, man. Get everybody excited.
Yeah.
Of course, there is one feature I'm very excited for, about, that nobody has heard before.
What's that?
That, right there. That silence. No more warble, no woom, 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 woom. Because we've elevated the microphone in such a way to eliminate the feedback that we've been getting. So that's a very good thing, in my opinion. So, yes, the news is we have no news because this episode we're doing a bunch of reviews. DB3 is going to be reviewing...
Oh, Trigun?
Not just Trigun, but...
The whole series.
Indeed.
Trigun.
I will be reviewing Cromartie High School, Volume 1, and also His and Her Circumstances, Volumes 3 and 4, which, of course, is the tie-in to the funny. Let's see. Oh, by the way, T-Man sends his best regards from Rock Springs, Wyoming. He's doing very well out there, working in a machinist shop, getting a little do-re-mi in between semesters, and everything's going good with him. Suddenly showed up one day, he's like, what are you guys doing here? And we were all like, oh, well, we're expecting me. Where are you? He's like, well, when I woke up today, I didn't think to myself, oh, he's going to be here. But no, my mom told me. I went, she what? And he said, well, you know, she didn't know if it would be okay to surprise me or not. You know, I was like, and I said, but yeah, so that was pretty fun. Went
your
around
mom
there.
Called him?
Yeah, yeah, I called in advance because I had their number but not their address, see. And so she ended up calling him, and she was like, I don't know whether I should mention this to you or not, but a friend of yours might be coming up today. And T-Man was like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, you know, NZ might be coming up. And he's all like, oh, well, that's kind of weird. So, anyways, good times were had by all. Went around, saw a couple of the game stores there, hung around with T-Man. So sad, his finger of doom, while well in effect, how he can go and just like, like hundreds of times a minute. It's a well thing, but he's really rusty on all the games.
Really?
So when I brought this guy with me and they were going to go duke it out in a Tekken Tag Tournament, oh, it was so sad.
T-Man got beat?
He forgot what all the buttons did.
Oh, no!
Yeah, and forgot all the buttons, forgot all the moves, and it was just so sad.
But he got beat.
Yes, he got beat. The invincible T-Man, just time and...
The button master.
Taking him down. Okay, but enough of this. I think we better get to our anime review, but who should go first?
I'll let you, since you're doing two, you can do one, then I'll do mine, then you can do your other.
Excellent plan.
It's not a new view, it's not a preview, it's a review. Anime review.
Alright, so I suppose I should start off reviewing His and Her Circumstances, since that's the one that I watched longest of go. We're just going in chronological order. There's order to our chaos.
Believe it or not.
Okay, so first off, Volume 3. And this volume basically covers the end of Season 1 and the beginning of Season 2. And frankly, you can just skip this one because it's really, really, really skippable. You know how anime shows will do those recap episodes where they'll catch everyone up? Okay, That's completely unnecessary because in his and her circumstances, or Caracano, at the beginning and end of each episode, they tell you what's happened and what's happening in the next episode. So it's really unnecessary to do these recaps, right? But we get not one, but two recap episodes in a row.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so it basically goes, there's five episodes on this disc. The first two deal with her friend, the main female character's friend, going and coming over to her house, and then one of them apparently has a problem with her widowed father going and marrying this new woman. And so the two episodes are spent on her friend coming to terms with this and accepting it, and her father being all glad and everything. So those are skippable. Next up comes two episodes, one recapping what happened in the first half of season one, and the other recapping the second half of season one.
Wow.
Okay? And then the last one is the telling of the story of how the main female character's mother and father met and fell in love.
Wow.
That's the entire DVD.
So it didn't progress the story at all?
No. It did a couple of side story stuff, recapped, and that is it.
Wow.
So I'm giving Volume 3 of His and Her Circumstances a neutral because it's not bad, but you don't need to watch it at all. So you could just skip right from Volume 2 to Volume 4, and you'd be perfectly fine. I mean, it's really that easily skippable. Okay, so now Volume 4, very different story. Okay, this one entails the return of Arima from his summer break, the main love interest of this story. And when he returns, he's much taller than he was when he left, and he won the kendo tournament, so he's the best swordman in all of Japan.
Wow.
Yes, very impressive, but he's more concerned with being back and seeing his love. And, of course, she is happy to see him as well. And within Arima have awoken passions, Doug. Passions that he has not felt so strongly before. And he is determined to be with her not only in soul and mind, but body too. And at first, she didn't know quite the way to take him being so much forward and open with his kisses and affection in public. As we all know, in Japan, public affection isn't exactly cool. So when all of a sudden he comes back and first thing he does is kiss her, well, that takes her quite aback, but it also makes her feel really good. And, well, I don't want to spoil too much, but let's just say that at first she's shocked by the changes, but then grows to appreciate his more openness with his emotions and whatnot. And want to spoil so much, but I can't. It's part of my duty as a reviewer to keep spoilers to a minimum. But so the first two episodes deal with the return of Arima, and the last three episodes introduce a new plot twist to the series that's pretty interesting. What that is that, Yukino basically finds her soulmate, if you will. Not so much in a romantic sense, although the series is kind of like, well, it could be. But in its basically parallel destinies, parallel ways. You see, Yukino has always lived her life to go and be number one for all the appreciation and admiration and everything. Whereas Arima has been that way simply to go and prove to his family that he isn't a black sheep and a failure like his parents were. Whereas this new boy, who unfortunately his name escapes me, he's closer to Yukino's stance on things, where she's, where he wasn't trying to be number one to prove something, but he was trying to be number one in order to basically go and get revenge on this girl, okay? When he was little, he was fat and pudgy and sickly and just awful at everything, right? Poor complexion. And he goes and he moves off to southern Japan, and by the time he come back, he's been in training and conditioning himself to go and be powerful and strong and smart and basically the best he can be in order to go and outdo this girl. And see, he was always bullied and picked on, and then one day this teacher asked her to watch out for him, since he was this big, rough, and tough girl. And so she did, but she picked on him anyways and basically made her a personal servant. So she protected him from the other bullies, but bullied him herself. And then eventually he confronts her about this before he goes off to southern Japan, and she's like, oh no, I was only being nice to you because a teacher asked me to. And of course this really, you know, devastated him. And so he went and devoted his life to becoming as good as he can be, and now he's tall, strong, athletic, handsome, smart, all those positive adjectives and adverbs. And so now she's really mad because she's really good at sports, but she's not very good at academics, but he's just awesome at all of them. And so Yukino finds basically, we can say, what would you say, DB3?
Middle ground?
No, you know, where the one person's very similar to another. It's not soulmate so much as, you know, I had it the other day. I guess you could kind of say like parallel souls, people on the same path, you know what I'm saying. And so Arima gets a little jealous, you know, because she's like, oh, now I understand and I'll help you with your goals and everything. And Arima's like, oh, hey, you know, she's digging on this guy a bit too much. And she explains, no, I just understand his position and whatnot. That's basically where this volume leads off. See, the whole last three volumes deal with the upcoming sports festival, where all the various clubs are putting on events and whatnot. And Yukino's friends, for example, are trying to go and get her to do this play. You know, the ones that aren't in clubs. And that really wraps everything up. So now we've got this new guy that shows up who might possibly end up being a love interest, who might end up in the middle of their relationship, who might just end up working with them. You know, it just kind of introduced a whole lot of questions.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see how the fifth and final volume of the series plays out. So I'm going to give this last volume of His and Her Circumstances a recommended, simply because I liked it when Arima came back, but this sports fest thing, it's called 14 Days, and there's three parts on the first, on this volume 4 DVD, and then on volume 5 there's another two parts to this storyline, and so it's kind of like they're dragging this storyline out too far, you know? So I give it a recommended because of that. DB3, the floor is yours.
Yay, I get to talk about Trigun. Alright, you know when the first time I watched Trigun was? The first NGK.
Yes. I remember it well. Guns and desert, and it's kind of like, what's this crazy thing?
Yeah, that's about what I remembered of it. But NGK, Trigun is based on another planet. It's sort of like a...
NGK is based on another state.
It's a western on another planet. The main character's name is Vash the Stampede. He's the wanted man. The human tycoon.
Billion double dollar man.
Yes. And basically, the story goes, there's these two insurance girls that are trying to... Well, the start of the story goes is the two insurance girls are trying to find them to keep him out of trouble because their insurance company is paying too much money for the damages he's making. And...
That's probably why there's that bounty out on him for $6 billion double dollars.
That's probably why. But the series, it starts off, like, in a very humorous tone, and as it progresses, it gets more and more serious. Like, it talks more, like, about killing and stuff. And that wasn't so much... I like the funny parts.
You know, a lot of people were concerned with how many people got injured in the show, you know. And some people got killed, which you should mention about Vash and his stance on killing.
Yeah.
But what I thought, nobody ever thinks about all the plants that ended up being destroyed in this, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of buildings, too. A
lot of buildings.
But, you know, buildings aren't living. Who thinks of the plants?
Who thinks of the plants?
But tell us about Vash and his affluence against violence.
Well, let me go back. As the story progresses, like, as the episodes move along, you get more and more Vash's backstory. You find out he has a brother, and as the people are coming to this planet they're on, Vash and his brother were sort of artificially created. They're, like, superhumans, or super smart and stuff.
Of course, when they come to the planet, they became plumbers, and they had many adventures in the Mushroom Kingdom.
No, not the story.
Oh, sorry, you got things mixed up.
But, like, their teacher was a girl named Rem, And Rem was here's an example. They were walking around this room, and there was a butterfly caught in a spider's nest. Alright? Vash wanted to let the butterfly go so they could both live, and his brother killed the spider and said, if you let the butterfly go, the spider's going to die from starvation, so I'll just kill it now and get it over with.
Kind of interesting side note here is REM, the initials REM stand for rapid eye movement, and that's the period in a person's sleep cycle in which their brain is most active and is dreaming. And so that applies to REM's philosophies in a way.
It does.
Kind of as the impossible dream.
I never even thought of that.
I know, aren't I good?
Thanks, Vinzy. Brings whole new aspects to it.
Mm.
But like the first season, like there's plenty.
Weren't they cute when they were little?
I did like them when they were little. I liked when they got their haircuts too when they were still little.
Mm.
That was pretty cool. But the first, there's 26 episodes, so two seasons. The first season was more or less Vash running from bounty hunters, and with the insurance girls trying to figure out who he is. And then the second season is this gang.
Don't they introduce the cross guy in the second season?
Yeah.
Or is that the first
one? No, they introduce him in the second one. There's this gang that, like, his brother hired to go out and kill him. And they meet, and Vash and the two insurance girls meet, oh man, what's his name? I don't even remember his name, but he's this priest that's carrying a big cross with a lot of weapons in it, a lot of rifles. And basically, they go throughout fighting this gang. And at the end, Vash and his brother have a face-off, and that's more or less the series in a nutshell.
Mm.
In a nutshell. I really like the first part, first season, because I just like more of the comic parts. Like, there are some really good fight scenes.
You know, I don't have problems with drama, but too much is bad.
Yeah. Like, there's a guy who shot himself because he got caught in, like, Nah, Vash is just like bummed for like two episodes. You're like, get over yourself already. So there's some like, it was dumb like that.
One of my favorite parts though was the music.
Yes, I liked the music. I did like the music. I liked the opening and the closing credit scenes. I don't know, it just, the music did build tempo into it, and yeah.
Yeah, thanks for trailing off there, DB3.
Yeah.
So what do you think of this as a whole? You got the funny first half, you got the dramatic second half with its conclusion and all, not to mention a budding romance.
Yes.
So, what do you think?
You know, this season could have ended just at the first one, but I'm glad it didn't, because there are some things that you're like, I wonder what's going to happen. So I'm glad they carried it on, but they definitely could have done it better. Overall, though,
mm-hmm.
I definitely suggest watching it, because there's some action scenes in the second half that make up for the bad drama.
Mm.
So I'll give this a...
The melodrama?
Yeah. This is a recommended, but this is almost a highly recommended.
Mm.
It's right there.
Now, here's something, side note or however you wish to refer to it, but I like cheese, and that has nothing to do with this. What I was going to say is that we saw Trigun and NDK.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing we saw was Those Who Hunt Elves.
Yes.
Okay, now did you ever get the opportunity to see Those Who Hunt Elves again?
No, I haven't got to see the second season yet.
It just made me think of that, so. So, now, I'm going to have to go back and mix this because it didn't record at the end of the thing. But that doesn't matter to you people. What matters is it's time for me to review Cromartie High School. Now, have you ever heard of this anime before, DB3?
No, I've never heard of Cromartie High School.
Ah, well, it's a very interesting anime that's just come out recently.
Oh, yes? Tell on.
And its manga is also out currently. The manga is being published by Viz.
Anime from manga. Who would ever have guessed?
Yes, it's amazing. it's actually pretty good. The term Cromartie, actually, when I got thinking of it, to play off of Cro-Magnon.
That's when you said Cromartie, that's actually what I thought it was.
Oh, was it?
When I first said it.
Well, because Cromartie High School is a high school for delinquents. Basically, the only people that get admitted to this school are people that none of the other schools will take.
So your sister would fit in perfect.
She's got a face to match. Okay, but let me get this out. Cromarty is a school for delinquents. Basically, guys that are so horrible no one else will take them. But the funny thing is on the inside, right, they're actually really good, decent guys. But they're all so concerned about keeping up their macho appearance and establishing the pecking order of the school that they try to never, ever reveal themselves for who they really are. Kind of like my sister. But, okay, so for example, this school has a bunch of crazy, unique characters. But it should be mentioned, first of all, the main character, he wasn't even supposed to be in this school. But through a series of unfortunate events that have nothing to do with lemons, he ended up being at this school full of really stupid delinquent guys, right? So we got a big cast of interesting characters besides him. There's this one guy who basically looks like an Italian pop singer. He, like, wears no shirt, but he has suspenders on and whatnot, these red suspenders.
This bad image is keen in my head.
And he has these, like, really long eyelashes, okay? And he understands Japanese, but he can't speak Japanese. And so, since he wouldn't tell them what his name was, they all decided to name him Freddy, okay? And then there's, like, this big ape that goes to the school that nobody wants to mess with, because that's one badass ape, right? Or the one good kid that ended up at this school that I mentioned a while ago. And nobody messes with him either, right? But not because he's this big, mean dumbass, but as the one kid said, well, imagine if there was this bunny, and he lived among a bunch of lions. Now that would have to be one badass bunny not to be eaten by those lions, wasn't it? So nobody wants to mess with him because they're afraid he's like this nice demeanor on the outside, but just a psycho underneath, right? And then there's like this robot that attends the school, and everybody wants to ask him, you know, what's the deal? Why are you a robot going to our school? But whatever they try to ask, they just lose their gumption at the last minute. They're like, yeah, I was wondering, you know, are you good with machines? He's like, well, what do you mean, am I good with machines? They're like, well, you know, I just figured a guy like you, you know, he'd be pretty good with machines. And he's like, no, isn't that awfully presumptuous? People assumed for years that women weren't good with electronics, and look now. They use cell phones and pages just as well, if not better, than any man. Now, you shouldn't be going about making assumptions like that. So, like, they can never confront him about this. Or there's this big, bald guy, and he's one of the tough guys at the school, and the one thing is he gets motion sick very easily. So whenever they go on a car ride or a bus ride or what have you, he gets this expression on his face, right? Like he's really mad and whatnot, but he's actually just trying to keep himself from vomiting all over the floor and destroying his reputation.
I thought you were going to say he's trying to keep himself from going to the bathroom everywhere.
Well, for example, one episode he's sitting in the back of this bus, and they're like, oh man, he looks really pissed. I wonder what somebody did, you know? It's just crazy, funny stuff. Or this one guy, he wants to be a stand-up comedian. And whenever he works up the will to go and try to tell a joke and break his demeanor and just forget about this tough guy persona he's been putting out, another guy will say a joke that he was thinking of or a stupid joke or whatever. He'll beat the crap out of him. They're like, see, man, I told you he doesn't like it when people make jokes. And then he's like, that's not what I'm thinking at all. It was just such a horrible joke. Just so debasing. I mean, come on. Who, like, laughs at things like that? And the plot lines of the episodes are just crazy. Like, one episode just concerned, like, this one kid, the main guy, got this song stuck in his head. And he's humming the song the whole episode. And he's humming it to other people to try and go and get them to let him know what the title of the song is. And they're like, oh, I don't know what that is. And he's like, well, hum it back to me, and maybe I'll know, and they'll start humming. And he's like, no, that's not what that part was all. It's like more like, mm-hmm. He's like, no, man, that's not how you did it. Was And so they all keep humming to each other, and eventually the whole school is stuck trying to figure out the song. And they, like, show up in the gym, and everybody's humming, like, at an assembly or something. And then he finally remembers who he first started hearing humming it. And it's the robot guy, and he tries to confront him about this, and he's like, hey, you know that one song that goes like, and he's like, oh yeah, I really love that song. And the guy goes, oh crap, I made it seem like I know that song, now I can't ask him what it is, or I'll seem like a total dumbass. And so they just sit there humming the song, him wanting to ask so badly what it is. Or another one where this rich guy who has an influential father on this highest, like, high school board, goes to Cromarty, and he wants to take over as the head honcho. And he's like, Well, if you don't take the threat seriously for me, then I'll get my father to expel you because he's on the school board. And one of the kids go, this is a public school. There is no head school board here. He's like, well, exactly, but I meant you could never get into a different school if you tried, if you messed with me, because my father secretly works for the group controlling the Japanese government. That's what I meant, yes. I could easily have you taken care of. And so he just keeps building this bigger and bigger lie. But all the guys at Cremati are so dumb, they don't see through the lie. And so just a lot of ridiculous characters and situations. And, you know, generally I don't like male Japanese singers, but the opening song for Cremati I just really, really like. And my favorite part of it is the main cast is walking down this hallway. And as they're walking, they're coming across things like cars and oil drums and boxers and all this stuff. And it's just deflecting off of them and flying away. And it's just hilarious because they're all just walking with their chest puffed out and everything. It's like, gong, 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 and like airplanes fly off of them and whatnot. And then it shows like the rest of the guys walking down the hall and other crap like sumo wrestlers bouncing off them and whatnot. It's just hilarious. And it's a really funny series all in all. Some of the episodes, though, the idea for the plot's kind of dumb. I think the pacing could be better in some episodes. Some, though, seem like they're over just like that, you know? So I'm definitely going to have to give Cremati High School a recommended, because I really enjoyed it, but if you don't like silly, kind of stupid, pointless humor, you probably wouldn't like it. And some of the episodes could have used a little bit more plot tweaking. But all in all, I really enjoyed Cremati High.
Fan mail. Fan mail. Fan mail, fan mail, fan mail, fan mail, fan mail, fan mail!
Well, it's that time of the night again, guys.
Time to go and let out our beer bellies?
That too, I always like doing that.
I've been holding that in all day.
Feels so good, doesn't it?
Sure does.
But now, let's go to the other part of the night. The night where we get to read your fan mail.
I didn't send anything in.
Oh.
Oh, fan mail from a listener.
Their fan mail.
Yeah, I knew that. I was just pretending.
All right, this first one is from Julia Roberts.
Should I read this or shall you?
I'll let you go ahead and read it.
Okay. How does Julia Roberts sound?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head how she sounds. She sounds like a girl.
Wow, that's good insight. Okay, I'll just say it in a funny voice. I've got to say, I love the show lately. It's really good. With that being said, I've noticed there's not much difference between NC-17 DV3s and ZI's reviews. If one person gives it a top recommended, the others do as well. And Z didn't make a couple of clones to help him pimp out the Studio Ghibli anime, did he? And just for my sake, would one of you give an anime a not recommended while the others give it a top recommended, you know, just to clear up that feeling of same old, same old? Thanks again, your friend, Julia, 1986, Robert. Your thoughts, DB3?
You know, it's funny that he asks us to give one a not recommended while the other gives a top recommended. I mean, that's...
Inane?
Yeah,
you know, let me explain something to you, Miss Roberts. It's very simple. We give the reviews scores based on how we feel about them. We don't just go, all right, guys, let's get out the hat, shake it up a bit. Oh, Lava Ball number 6, you know what that means? We got to give this one a highly recommended. No. We all go and give our honest opinions on how good the show is. Just because a lot of times we share similar tastes on a particular show doesn't mean that we always agree. For example, T-Man, if a show has robots in it, mechas or what have you, Gundam, he will go and give it a better score than we would, simply because it has robots in it.
That's true.
So, you see, it's not that we go and we all agree on the same thing, it's just certain anime... Well, our review scale isn't exactly, how shall we say, granular.
Right.
It's more clean, clear, and cut. You only got 5 grades that you can give it. Not recommended, recommended, highly recommended, top recommendation, right? And neutral. So, what that means in essence is you either say you like it, recommended, you really liked it, highly recommended, or this is one of your all-time favorites, top recommendation. Or you didn't care for it much, but it was all right, that's a neutral. Or you didn't like it at all, that's a not recommended. So following those guidelines, if I like the show, DB3 and Z-Guy all like the show, some of us might have liked it more than others, but that doesn't mean that one of us liked it sincerely, you know, just a bunch. So since we don't have a bunch of granular scales, that goes and makes it so that we all give it a recommended. Now, granted, we could go with percentages or how many points out of 10 or whatever, but I feel scales like that go and tend to encourage people to go and give, oh, this is 7 out of 10, and people are like, oh, he mustn't have really liked that. No, 7 out of 10, 70%. Yeah. That's pretty dang good. Okay, if somebody was just kind of iffy on it, it would be a 4 or 5, you know. So I have a feeling that people tend to gravitate towards the higher end of a scale in that case, but going and giving the verbal recommendations of, you know, highly recommended, neutral, or whatever, goes and better establishes what we thought of a particular program.
You know what? You can also look at all the, like, the movie critics. They have thumbs up and thumbs down.
Yeah, that's much more binary than our system.
Yeah.
So, you know, take that as it is. Instead of just giving it a simple, we liked it or we didn't, we give it a bit more of, oh, well, we really liked it or not so much or what have you.
But for your benefit...
But without being too lenient.
Ms. Roberts, there are times when I have made my opinion of it, but as NZ sits here and talks about it, I'm like, that's right, I did like that. And my opinion does change. So for your benefit, I'll give the recommendation I had when I originally finished the movie.
I don't think that's to anyone's benefit.
You know?
I think you should simply think what I think and give the score based upon that. Because, you know, it's been a while since we read the fan mail, but I think that's what they were asking for. We should all share the same opinion.
Oh, okay.
But
you know, that's sort of dumb, too, because, like, we're friends. Friends usually tend to like the same thing.
Have similar interest levels.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying. Well, all right, enough of this email from 1986 Roberts. Let's move on to this one from Azure. Okay, so I'll read this one.
All right.
You weren't here when this one came in a month ago. it goes, this is from Azure, and she writes, I completely forgot to email. I just got some Copic markers, so I may have inhaled too deeply. Anyway, my Copic-ing, I made up a word for you, has not gone to waste, as she made a lovely fan art, which she had put up on DeviantArt. So, I got the fan art, and DB3 and I were looking at that just a moment ago. Should I pull that back up, DB3?
Yes, it deserves to be looked at again.
All right. Then we'll go ahead and describe it a bit. Might have a good contender for August's winner for the fan art of the month. Really need to get around to sending out all of those fan art prizes. But, you know, it's they're forgiving, I hope. Because we've got one for Azure for those first two she sent,
yeah,
and one for that stone monkey that sent the one in of Vandy by the river, because Vandy lives in a van down by the river. And let's see, what else was there? You remember, right?
I didn't.
This new one.
Oh, yes.
Well, I mean, there was the, let's see, hang on. There was the pencil one that Number One Otaku did years ago, but you know. Okay, so, DB3, how about you go ahead and tell me, or rather tell our listeners, what you think of this piece.
I actually just think this is the one that so far has brought out the real Bandy. It's a college student-ish sort of persona. She looks like she's sort of carefree. Oh no, I really like it.
Yeah, this one has a lot of nice bright colors, and by the way, since she didn't send a name in for it, I just went off the description on DeviantArt, and I called this piece Sporty Summer Banchan. But see, she's, you know, she's bright, she's smiling, lots of bright colors, nice compositions, a nice sort of burst of blue behind her. You know, she's pulling on her pigtails, she's wearing this nice Chinese dress, some bangles, a nice armlet, like the skirt, you know, it's just all really nice, really looks in character with Bandy.
Yeah.
So, pretty good contender for August fan art of the month, especially since we haven't gotten any other for this month. So, you know.
you know what? I think Azure might be just take everything in the vault.
You know, at this rate, she just might. But I have a feeling she'll be getting some stiff competition after we come back from NDK, get a whole bunch of new people listening, and sending in fan art, things are going to heat up.
Yeah.
Things are going to heat up. Okay, so, let's see. Should we jump right into a hot spot, and then I talk a bit about some of the special stuff that we're going to be doing at NDK, or should I talk about that now?
How long do you think that's going to take?
Not too long.
Then go ahead and do the hot spot.
Do it after the hot spot?
Yes.
I'm not going to take that advice. I'll talk about it now. Just real quick.
Okay? Why'd you ask for my advice?
Because I wanted to see if you agreed with me.
I don't agree with you.
I know, and I didn't like that fact, so I'm just going with what I wanted to do anyways.
You jerk?
Well, you know, it makes you feel good if people think the same way you do. Okay.
But I don't. I'm not your clone anymore.
It makes me feel bad. Thanks, Julia Roberts. Okay. But what we're going to do is, at the live show that we're going to do, it's going to be lots of fun, we're going to go and have a sign-up form, okay? And everybody that signs up on the form will be added to our mailing list. You know, very low volume, I might mention. I'm not too good at sending it out, even though I'm supposed to send out one a week. But everybody that signs up will be put on our mailing list and put in our drawing. Because at the show, we're going to give away 4 different ASO Radio t-shirts. Very nice stuff. So, everybody that signs up will randomly pick out of those, and they will win their shirts. For those people that didn't get picked, we will be selling some shirts, and we'll also have some compilation CDs on hand for selling. Let's see. Anything else? We'll be doing our cosplay pictures. That's going to be really nice. Instead of just the usual old person takes a picture of the cosplayer and that's it, we'll be taking pictures, of course, with our high-quality digital cameras.
I'm not that rich, Enzy. I have just a normal Kodak.
Oh, well, I have a nice high-quality 4 or 5 megapixel Nikon with optical zoom. So that was pretty cool. Well,
doesn't Z-Guy have a nice digital, too?
Z-Guy has a nice one, too. Not as nice as mine in some aspects, but a little nicer in others. So
I'm just a poor broke college student.
Hey, you got a newer laptop than me. That counts for something.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay,
yeah.
But, where were we?
But it's only a Dell.
Oh, dude, you got a Dell? Poor man. But, cosplay. We'll take the pictures, but we'll also have a roster where the cosplayers will write down their real name, their nickname, the character they're dressed as, and the anime or other thing that their character happens to be from, so we can properly credit them on the artist alley.
Yes.
And, of course, lots and lots of interviews that we'll record to go and have during these episodes.
And we'll hopefully get those interviews out for you.
Yes. Now, we lost the original interviews we did in 2001. I was hoping to do some of those leading up to NDK. But these ones we will record directly into digital audio, and so we hopefully won't lose them. And also, I didn't steal the idea of putting anime industry people interviews on the show from Anime Radio. Did not steal that at all. I came up with it completely on my own, even though I listened to episodes where they had done interviews and featured that long before I ever thought of doing it on our own show. It's not plagiarism. It's just idea borrowing.
Hey, look at all the automobile countries. Employee discount.
Mm.
Idea borrowing.
Actually, that series of commercials where they're giving the employee discount to the customers, all of those companies are actually owned by one company.
Really?
Believe it or not. Yeah. The automobile industry is really consolidated these days. Like, people might go, oh, a Saturn, that's the alternative. But no, they're actually owned by a different car company. So, yeah, it's kind of sad. Harley Davidson is owned by a Japanese company these days. You know?
I knew that.
So, but, okay, blah, 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 blah. Well, that was a really interesting fan mail section, DV3. I think we better move on to the hotspot.
The hotspot? Who would have guessed?
Oh, that NDK is so close.
Oh, baby, a hotspot.
So, there is one thing I wanted to mention real quick before I jump to the hotspot. A couple of episodes back, you remember how I was talking about it's important for anime convention attendees to go and get a convention shirt,
mm-hmm.
and how I regretted never going and getting one from NDK
right.
2001. And either you or Z Guy, I can't remember which, probably both, you said, wait, but didn't you get a shirt? And I'm like, no, I didn't get a shirt. And you're like, oh, I'm pretty sure you didn't. I'm like, no, I didn't. Okay, you guys were actually right, and I was wrong.
Hey, you have to... That's a monumental moment. NZ admitted that I was right about something.
You know, if you scoot back a little bit, the mic will pick you up better. Let me rotate it.
I'm just sort of used to having to lean up.
Well, you don't have to. But, okay, so... What it was, I forgot to buy a shirt at Anime Expo 2000.
Oh.
See, but I remembered at NDK. See, so. Just wanted to clarify that for any listeners.
I feel so happy
right now. And also to admit my mistake. I'm big enough to do that. You know, because...
Well, see, he's just so... He's hardly ever wrong, so it's just...
Well, you know...
He committed the one time he's wrong.
Plus, if they found out, they would spank me for being bad and my bottom's very tender. Speaking of tender bottoms...
I'll do that to you guys. Spanking.
Well, speaking of tender bottoms, let's speak about the Romna 1/2 manga. You might wonder, how does that tie into tender bottoms?
Actually, that's what I was
bottom wondering. Action. Yeah, just saying... That Rumiko Takahashi doesn't shy away from nudity. I love this first volume. Anyways, this review is of Romna 1/2, Volume 1. And this is a very, very good volume. Just some absolutely hilarious moments. Like, I might see something coming, and then it'll be completely different, and it'll make me laugh. I mean, very few manga I actually laugh out loud when I'm reading. But this Romna 1/2 manga seriously had those moments where you're like, dee dee, oh. You know, and you're like, ah, it's just, and then sometimes it's just something so ridiculous, or you could relate so much to it that you would just, you couldn't help but laugh out loud or smirk or what have you. I really had like perma smile on my face reading this. But it's just really great. For those unfamiliar, though, from our numerous Romna reviews of the anime in the past. This manga basically follows a young man by the name of Romna Saotome and his unfortunate curse to turn into a girl whenever doused with cold water.
Yes, how sad.
Unfortunately, though, he can change back into his original form with hot water. And this first volume introduces Romna, his father Genma, and his fiancée and her family. The Tendo family, the father, the head of the family, promised to Romna's father, Genma Saotome. See how good I am with names when I really like something?
Yeah, I mean, I'm noticing that.
And you know, I really liked Kerry Kano, and so I feel bad about not remembering all the names. But the two fathers
promised... Maybe it's just because you've seen so much of the
Romna. Yeah, that could be. There is a lot out there.
Yeah.
Anyways, Genma, plus I saw it when I was a lot younger. You know how that works. What's his name? Tendo's name.
What's Tendo's name?
Yeah, his first name.
Oh.
Tendo is the family
yeah,
name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyways, the two promised, they were such good friends when they were at Martial Arts Academy and whatnot, that they promised that they would have their children wed. And so that way they would be like brothers. Well, here it is now, 16 years or more later, and Romna and his father show back up. And so Romna ends up engaged to one of the girls, and if you know anything about Romna 1/2, you know who it is, but I'm trying to avoid spoilers, so. And neither one of them really are crazy for this idea. the girls, it's just crazy because everybody has these misconceptions about each other, these predetermined ways that they feel, and they don't feel like changing, and Romna doesn't want to be engaged, and his fiancée doesn't want to be engaged to them, and there's all these misunderstandings, and at first they didn't know about his curse, and then they find out, and they're not sure how to take it, and Romna has to keep this hidden from, you know, his schoolmates, and then Akane comes to school, and all the boys try to go and beat her up, and Romna's like, why in the world do they want to beat you up? And she's like, well, Kuno made it so that they were only allowed to date her, me if they were able to beat me in combat, because that was the challenge that he put out. That he, and so unless they could beat me, they wouldn't be worthy of dating me, and so he would hunt them down. And it's just crazy. And I know it's a little spoiler here, but then all the boys find out about the engagement, and they're like, oh, we found out about the truth, and we gladly give up to you to such a manly man as Ramna. We will never bother you again. And she's like, well, what makes you think I want to be with such a jerk? And he's like, well, jerk, you're the one silly hitting me. And then she hits him, and she goes, I do not. So, it's pretty good.
It sounds like a typical girl.
Mm. Yeah. DB3 knows so much about that. But we won't go there. That was so cheap.
That's all right. I can take it.
But this manga is so much better than any of the anime that I've seen.
Really?
I mean, you know how I did that while ago about how great the Oh My Goddess manga was?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this Ramna manga is probably, like, we'll just say for the sake of exaggeration and argument, twice as good in comparison to the anime.
Now I'm definitely going to have to read the manga.
Yeah, it's just the timing is so much more on. It's like the Ramna anime was more slapstick with a couple of interjections of romance. Lots of martial art action,
yeah,
of course. Whereas the manga is more like a romance with a bit of drama and, of course, misunderstanding, because, I mean, what romance is good without, you know, a bit of drama?
Yeah.
With comedic bits interjected, you know. And the characters, instead of just going and being stereotyped and fulfilling their roles, in the manga, they seem much more realistic. You know how Ramna is always mean to Akane,
mm-hmm,
and then he only really feels bad when she's really hurt,
yeah,
right? Well, in the manga, at first Ramna tries to go and get things going with Akane, you know,
really?
Since they're engaged, and she won't have none of this, and so he's like, well, fine, if you want to be that way, and then he's off on his own, and he's like, you know, she's a pretty big tomboy, she'd look cute if she'd smile once in a while or whatnot, you know, thinking to,
yeah,
herself, or like he would sense that she was glum without her being overly emotional, and so he would try to cheer her up or whatnot. And so you get a lot of Ramna's inner thoughts and whatnot that you don't really get in the anime, and so it adds a lot more depth to his character. But you also get to see the thoughts of all the other characters as well, and so that adds a much more depth.
Does reading the manga help you get it, like, get into characters more in the anime, like,
well,
you compare them and, like, understand them more?
Could you rephrase that a little bit different?
After, now that you've read the manga,
uh-huh,
do you understand the anime any better?
After I read the manga, I thought to myself, wow, what a waste of time watching the anime. No, seriously, it's the manga and the anime, the anime is almost like a farce of the manga, like a simplified version of the manga. So you lose a good portion of the character development.
So it's like those For Dummies books.
Yeah, kind of like that, the Cliff's Notes version of,
yeah,
manga, where, you know, the anime is just like some slapstick, you know, Kane hits him with his hammer out of nowhere and whatnot. But this deals more with, like, just for example, the whole thing's really lighthearted and fun, lots of funny jokes and whatnot, like, Akane's really mad at Ramna, so she's going to go and throw this bucket of water on him, turn him to a girl while they're at school. And so Ramna, you know, he doesn't want to go and defend himself or fight back because she's a girl. And so he's just trying to dodge, but what he does is he sidesteps up like a crab, but he's holding these buckets of water straight out, but he's just like, away. He's like, no, get away with that water. He's like, come back here. So it's just kind of funny things like that. But for example, Akane has a crush on Dr. Tofu, and she doesn't just come right out and say this, but it's revealed by the way that she acts, and Ramna is able to read into the subtext and figure it out. Now, something like that you really wouldn't see in the anime. I mean, they touch on the whole thing where she's got a crush on him, but they're not as subtle as Rumiko is in the manga. And so it's just, the comedic bits are funnier, but they don't happen as frequently, and so that makes their contrast that much greater and makes them funnier. Whereas in the anime, it's just constant jokes. With this, it's jokes interspersed throughout the story. You know, of course, you got all the crazy, insane martial arts action of, like, Ramna and Ryoga fighting each other, Ryoga trying to whip him with his bandanas and hit him with, you know, the wind from his umbrella, and the umbrella whipping around like a boomerang and such, and just all sorts of crazy things. And then there's, like, some things that happen to the characters. You're like, that is so sad. I would be devastated, you know. And so it's just, there's a wider range of emotion and character development in this, you know. And it's not only in their thoughts that give them greater depth, but also in their actions. Ramna tends to be nicer and more understanding to Akane, even though, you know, he doesn't really understand girls and, you know, gets frustrated with them. Or, for example, Akane isn't nearly so prone to violence, you know. She's more willing to try to work a little bit before she takes the alternative route. And it's just really great. I suppose I should give a bit more of the story for this volume. Like I said, Ramna shows up, they pick his fiance, blah, blah, blah. And it introduced Dr. Tofu, Viv the Wives of the Satomes. And then Ramna's self-proclaimed rival, Ryoga, shows up to challenge Ramna to a fight. And he's like, "Ramna, you jerk, how dare you go and not show up for a fight?" And Ramna says, "I did show up for a fight. I waited 3 days for you to appear. What was I supposed to do, sit there and starve?" And he's like, "I would have been there if you had waited 4 more days." Because he had gotten lost and ended up in northern Japan, on Hokkaido, I think. And it's just really, really funny. And so it introduces the rivalry of Ryoga and Ramna in this, which is kind of interesting at this point, because as followers of the anime know, Ryoga ends up having a crush on Akane, but at this point he doesn't have the crush on Akane, so he doesn't care who gets hurt in his way while he's trying to take down Ramna, as long as he can take him down, you know. And of course he can forget the poetic voice of the swordsman Tatawate Kuno. He's basically a rogue that has a fickle heart, and he ends up having a crush on both Ramna's girl form and Ramna's fiance. And but he speaks like such a gentleman in such flowery poetic language that it makes it absolutely hilarious. And though he's the greatest swordsman there, Ramna easily outdoes him, but Ramna still takes a hit, and he's like, the kind of like, "Oh, Ramna, look, he got you there." He's like, "Huh? Well, I didn't even notice, that's nothing." And she pokes him in, like, the next paddle. He's, like, sitting on the ground crying. She's like, "Doesn't hurt at all, huh?" So, the manga really, it's really leaps and bounds better than the anime. But the nice part of watching the anime before I watch this manga is that I can hear all the voices of the characters in my head. And whenever they do something, you can hear the sound effects, you know, like somebody getting hit or whatever. They use them so often. Yeah. The anime, that it ingrains itself in your head. So, yeah, I'm going to give this one a, I don't know, I'm tempted to give it a recommended, because some people might not care for Ramna.
Uh-huh.
But screw them, I really like this. So I'm giving this a highly recommended, because I really enjoyed this.
I hope this has helped you all. I know I'm going to definitely go read it because of NZ's fabulous review. So.
And letting you borrow it for free.
You didn't even know that.
I mean, I will see you later for tea.
Yes.
That's exactly what I said. It worked on South Park. Okay, well, now it's time to wrap up the show.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's such a tragedy. But, you know, people do look forward to hearing this every week, so maybe it is a
bit
of
tragedy. It's finally over. I've got my insanity for the week.
Do you remember Artemis Radio?
I try not to.
You're thinking of the wrong one.
I don't remember them.
Artemis Radio is kind of closer to our radio show than the others. And they were around for a while and really popular, and then they disappeared for a while due to one of the guys' what do they call that? Personal
problems?
Yeah, yeah. Family problems, uh-huh. Deaths, and something like that. Or, like, his house got flooded and his girlfriend left him and just had to move or something. I can't remember.
Poor guy, I feel for him.
Yeah, and they were gone for a while. Then about a year later, they put up an episode, explained things, and explained how they really weren't going to be doing a show anymore. And I went to their website the other day, and the website's down.
Really?
So, yeah. So I guess maybe they just decided not to do it anymore. So.
Salutations, my friends.
Mm. Yeah, so sad to see them go, but I guess that's just the way it is sometimes.
They should have put a site that says, go check out ESO.
Yeah, yeah. I should have done that. The guy that does it is actually Scott Peterson,
really?
Not the infamous Californian man, but rather the guy that's in charge of the press relations at NandesuCon. So, yeah, that's how I kind of came across it. But so, and I guess that makes us one of the only two anime talk radio shows left. So,
I don't know how to feel about that, Enzy.
Mm. Yeah, well, you know, I guess as long as we keep doing it. Speaking of which, as of this episode, I have about 10 episodes which I need to upload, so that, we're practically dead to the world at this point.
Yeah.
But that'll be changing as we're having, like, multiple episodes.
You know,
once
NDK comes, we can't do that anymore.
Yeah, we'll have to be regular again.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
But it's been sort of nice, like, you guys didn't know I was gone.
Yeah, yeah. Practically seen no time at all. Time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the last time I put up an episode was 2 months ago.
About the time I left.
Yeah, so... See, you're my motivation, DV3. It's no fun doing the show without my co-host. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. Multiple shows per week up to NDK, then we'll do all those shows at the con, and then after that, we'll be back to a regular weekly schedule.
Yes.
So that'll be really weird. I don't know how to take that.
I don't know what the fans will do either.
Mm. Listen, probably, for a change.
We'll get fans.
Well, you know, see, that's the problem. If we
They'll
don't
keep listening.
If we don't regularly put out episodes, like you say, they don't listen. They stop listening. So if we put out regular episodes, then they keep checking in every week.
You know,
otherwise, they lose interest. They don't come
we
back.
We had that one guy from Louisiana for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And then we didn't put up episodes for like a month and a half.
Yeah.
So, or at least a month. So, yeah.
Well,
that's why I sign up for the newsletter, so we can keep you up to date. When I put out newsletter issues. I'm so horrible. But that will all hopefully change after NDK. You know, even T-Man, when I visited him, he was like, yeah, man, talking to the guy I brought with me, it used to be that we would do...
two shows a week.
No, it's like, it used to be like clockwork, man. We'd have episodes out all the time. In the beginning, we used to, like, have short ones, but they'd be, like, twice a week or three times a week and whatnot. And I'm like, yeah, those are the days. That don't happen anymore. So, but we will do our best.
Yes.
We promise to try our best to get out episodes every week. And, frankly, I got so many built up that it's just basically going to explode if I keep holding on to them. So.
Yeah. Your poor computer.
Yeah, poor computer. But I feel sadder for the fans. Mm-hmm. Nah, they do no work.
Yeah.
For the episodes. They just sit there and listen.
Well... Yeah, they write fan mail.
They write fan mail, send in fan art.
And fans do make the show.
The fans do make the show, sending in their fan art, their fan mail, and hopefully subscribing to Club NZ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I did forget to mention the trivia contest.
The trivia contest.
The trivia contest. Okay, now, what has been our traditional contest here at ASO Radio, DB3?
I see, we've had the fan mail.
Indeed.
We've had the spread the word, I don't remember its real name.
Right, right. The ASO Squad thing.
Yep. There's one more.
The fan art.
I said the fan art.
No, you said fan mail.
Oh, yeah, fan art. That's what I meant, though.
Remember when we used to have those weekly fan mail topics?
Yeah, that was
We should reintroduce those after NDK.
All right.
Give people stuff to write in about. And the other one was our promoter.
Yes.
Well, okay, no, that was ASO Squad. The other one was where they posted a lot on the forum, our forum members.
Oh, the forum members.
So, we've had really poor response to those last two, the promoter of the month and the forum member of the month. So, probably going to be dropping those.
You might want to wait to drop the forum one until after we get, after...
Well, we'll reinstitutionalize, is that what
Reinstate.
I'm doing? Reinstate. We'll reinstate those contests if there's a demand for it or we see a potential for it.
Right.
Right now I don't see any potential, so those are temporarily suspended. So it's not like we've had any entrants so far.
Yeah.
So, we're replacing it with the trivia contest. DB3, what does shampoo from Romna 1 half turn into when wet?
Shampoo, when she gets wet, what does she turn into? Oh, I don't remember.
a cap.
That's what I was going to say.
And if you had said that, you would have won the trivia contest if that were the question for it.
Oh, man.
So, and basically, the trivia contest will be anime-based trivia, and we might reach into video games every now and again. And we will go and have a question, one question per month for the trivia contest, okay?
Per month?
Per month.
I don't know about per month, man, because... Are we going to send
one
to
question me?
Would we send a thing to everyone who wins?
I'm glad you asked. See, what it is that the trivia question will not be announced on ASO Radio.
Oh.
It will be announced in our newsletter, What's Up at NZ17 Productions. And so every week, for 4 weeks, thus, you know, four episodes basically equals a month,
uh-huh.
Every four we will send out a new trivia question. Then during the following weeks, we will collect all the responses. Then from the correct responses on the fourth episode, we will go and randomly draw one of the ones that correctly answered it to award the prize.
Oh.
So the only real way for somebody to go and enter our contest is to go and check out our newsletter. So that way we can encourage people to sign up for the newsletter. And then when we announce the winner, we will go and we will say the contest question, the answer, and announce the winner.
Well, that's a good plan.
So it'd be pretty awesome. And another thing after NDK, not only more regular episodes, not only fan mail, what was it, theme of the week or question of the week,
yeah,
or something, not only will we have those, but I will also actually send out the prizes that people earn.
Yeah.
So don't let that scare you off. You know, I'm a good boy already. You know, go ahead. Sign for the newsletter. But okay, I think that's about all that we have to cover this episode.
This is about a good long closing.
Yeah, about as long as that one episode we were listening to earlier.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, okay, let's say our goodbyes. This is NZ17
and DDC
signing on out for episode 77, the last episode of season 5 of ASO Radio.